Have you ever heard of bunny chow? Or cook sisters? Babuiti? Chicken tikka? These are all dishes that shaped my world as a child, just because of migration. Come with me, Erica von Kaschke, as we pass the cinnamon stick to people who have come to Australia. Listen to their migration stories, to what they bring to the land down under, and what they get from it.
So welcome to the Cinnamon Stick. This is your host, Erica von Kaschke. And today with me on the program is Adam Kinnest from Gemstar. Welcome, Adam. It's really great to have you on the show.
Really excited for the opportunity to have a chat with you today.
So Adam, normally our program kind of features people from a migrant or refugee background and how their journey to Perth. I know that you didn't grow up in WA. So what was your journey like? How did you end up in Perth?
It was quite an interesting journey. I've only been living in Western Australia for about 12 years now. I was born in a coal mining town in country Victoria. You know, I come from quite a poor working class family. We did move around quite a lot growing up. I lived in quite a few places around Australia. We moved to Queensland in 94. Where I did a lot of my schooling, and then through hard work I had the opportunity to do some travelling in my early 20s, and I have travelled and lived in other parts of the world, including New Zealand, New York, and I've spent a fair amount of time in South America, Southeast Asia. But after all of that, I moved to Perth because I have some family here, and I found sort of what I call my forever home. So Western Australia is definitely where my heart lies.
You would really be able to empathize with people that have had multiple homes throughout their life, because I often think that moving interstate is like moving countries.
It definitely can be. And I think the biggest challenge I had growing up was the constant adjustments to, you know, a new town, a new school. And because we moved from country Australia as well, there's the aspect of, you know, a bigger city and all the challenges that come with that. So when I moved to Queensland, you know, I went to a high school that was predominantly Maori. So a lot of Pacific Islanders and New Zealanders were living in South Brisbane at the time in the early 90s. So there was this influx of, you know, new culture as well. So, and that was sort of my first taste of actually being integrated into a community that was not just your typical, you know, white Australian, I guess would be the term. But, you know, and I think that has always benefited me in my adult life, because I had the exposure with different people from different backgrounds pretty early on in my life.
So through all of that, what has been the one piece of advice that has most shaped your life?
Really good question. I think the one is, one, to always be open to new experiences. You know, it's better to say yes than no. Don't be afraid. Also to be open to understanding other people and their perspective. That can always be difficult at times, especially if it doesn't necessarily fit with your own perspectives or beliefs. But definitely being open to listening to others is always helpful to make connections. And I think it makes you a better person. I think for me, definitely, I am able to be a part of, you know, many different kinds of communities, just to be present and to listen and to experience what they have to offer without fear of, you know, being judged. I think that's been the biggest learning and advice, is just to be open and to listen.
So how did your journey as an entrepreneur start?
Well, that's a big question. I think, if I'm honest, being called an entrepreneur is something that I am still not entirely comfortable with. And that seems to, you'll actually find that that's fairly typical of most people. And I think that's because the connotation of what an entrepreneur is typically, you know, the Richard Bransons of the world, or the, you know, Elon Musks, these big personalities that make billions of dollars and live, you know, these luxury lives. But as something that we talk about in our program, is that entrepreneurs typically are, you know, very hardworking, you know, and aren't living the life of luxury. They're, what they're doing is actually working and developing their passion and, you know, are working to make a impact and a change within their community. And so for me, the word entrepreneur and being called that is never really sat right with me, but I am passionate about what I do, not just in my, you know, program facilitation, but with my business idea, which was to I created a sensor integrated sock, so a pair of socks that you wear every day that can help monitor the vital signs and the falls of a person who, you know, might be an elderly patient or maybe someone who's had an injury or illness that needs to be, you know, monitored for their fall risks. I came up with this concept by actually participating in the Young Gems program, which is the program that I now facilitate, back in 2017. It was on offer in collaboration with Murdoch University. Initially, I just took on the challenge, you know, wanting to get some more official business skills because I had a business background. It kind of snowballed into something bigger, which was coming up with a concept through my passion and what drives me, which is to help others and to, and came out with a business idea. And I was lucky enough to go through the journey of the Young Gems program with a coherent business idea. I was given the opportunity to pitch that business idea here in Perth. And then it was a bit more of a competition format at university. And I was lucky enough, my business partner at the time, to win. It was a bit of a shock, but you know, welcome one. We were whisked away fairly quickly. I think about 4 days after we did our first pitch to Singapore, and we pitched our business idea at the Australian High Commissioner's residence in Singapore in front of academics and politicians and global business leaders. And ultimately, myself and my business partner, we won that round and became international winners for the Young Gems competition that year. So it was a bit of a whirlwind, actually, and it was a fairly intense but inspiring experience. And that led me to then having the opportunity to be invited to pitch in another competition in 2018, which was Pitch at Palace, which is the global competition hosted by Prince Andrew. I went through a very similar format where I did a Perth pitch, and then I was lucky enough to be one of, I think they had, out of 3,000 applicants, 500 participants, they whittled us all down to 40 of the top businesses, startups and entrepreneurs in Australia. And I was one of them, and I was lucky enough to go to Brisbane and deliver my pitch to a very large audience live, and over 30,000 people streaming across the world. I didn't win, but that's okay, because that's not what it was about. It was about the opportunity to get up and tell my story and tell people about what I'm passionate about, which is my business idea. It was the Young Gems program that set me up with the skills, the knowledge, and I think the tools to be able to pitch on that scale. So it's been quite a journey as an entrepreneur. So
just walk us through the Young Gems program that you'll now be doing in collaboration with Multicultural Futures and the City of Canning. Will it be slightly different to what you've gone through, or what can participants expect?
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, it is a little different. It's a more comprehensive version. So I went through what we call a bit of an accelerated version. So it is designed for, was designed for more university level and people who work at a pace. So with the Multicultural Futures and the City of Canning's program that we will be facilitating, we take participants through 6 weeks worth of classes. So that's 1 day a week, and it's 3 hours. And we will take you through the master classes, that is what we call master classes. And we explore the entrepreneur in you, to understand your passion and your purpose, to also understand the why and what problem you want to solve. So we want to explore who you are as a person, because though when you understand who you are, you understand what drives you and motivates you, that'll help keep you focused and inspired on your entrepreneurial journey. Because being an entrepreneur is hard. It's hard work, and it's not for the faint-hearted. You have to be really passionate about what you want to do. And then once we understand that, then we talk about the fundamentals of how to start a business. So we talk about marketing and branding, so understanding the market landscape, you know, your competitors, and what kind of image, your personal brand and your business brand, that you would like people to see. What do you want people to feel and understand when they look at you and your business? And then we take you through the fundamentals of, obviously, how to, you know, start your business. So the business model, the finances, and all of those really structured tools that you're going to need. And then with all of that, we help you bring it all together. And then at the end of the 6 weeks, on the seventh week, it's a bit of a celebration. So we invite all the participants to get on stage one at a time and to actually present and pitch their business idea to an audience. And that audience will be filled with obviously family and friends and their peers, but also community leaders, business leaders, and others who may be interested in supporting your business idea. It's to give you a voice and a platform. And that's what the Young Gems program is about. It's about not only inspiring you and giving you the fundamentals, but then giving you a platform to have people listen to your idea.
What do you think is the biggest obstacle participants have to overcome?
I find a lot of the time it's internal. If people want to start a business or they have a fantastic idea, and maybe are a bit scared, or they're frightened of failure. They think, oh yeah, I've got a great idea, but what if it doesn't work? It's that fear of putting yourself out there. What I will say is that will always be the case in everything that you do in life. However, the Young Gems program, it aims to give you the space to nurture your idea, but also to fail, because failure is okay. And that's how we learn. And we don't talk about failure enough in entrepreneurship. It's usually the success stories you hear. It's the, you know, a little garage startup that became a billion-dollar company, you know, and that's the stories that most of us hear. However, what you don't hear is how many times that person may have failed leading up to that one success. I think the biggest hurdle is people's fear of failure and putting themselves out there. But what I would say is that this is an environment, and we try to provide an environment where it's nurturing and it's open, and for you to actually ask questions and really find your feet.
One thing that we have found or heard from potential participants is that they say, but I have so many ideas. Which one should I bring forward? But I think that's a sign of a great entrepreneur if you have many ideas. How do you tackle that?
That's a great question. I think, yeah, you're absolutely right. Great entrepreneurs are not only great storytellers, but tend to have lots of ideas and lots of good ideas. And what we endeavor to do at Young Gems is actually help you focus on the one idea you're most passionate about, to help you focus on at least a starting point. We don't want to discourage you from having great ideas and from, you know, exploring those ideas, but there will always be one idea that you're most connected with. And the aim of the program, especially at the very start in a lot of our upfront masterclasses, is to actually find out what you are passionate about, what motivates you, and to align your idea with that. Because that's what's going to drive success, because you're going to actually be inspired to get up every day when it's hard. And so you're going to get out of bed and you're going to pull your socks up and you're going to get stuck in again, even if it's hard. Many ideas is fantastic, and the Young Gems program will help you focus those ideas, and you'll find some of those ideas will actually be able to join together, and could be that you create a bigger business that you never knew you had in you.
So what would success look like for you in this new Young Gems program?
So we measure success by the transformational change that we witness in our participants. If you start a business, fantastic. That is an amazing result, and you know, we celebrate those wins. And we have had young people, we've had Young Gems participants who have gone on to really work on their idea. And I think the message is as well that it can take a long time to start a business. So don't get discouraged if 3 months or 6 months after the program, you still haven't launched this amazing business, because it's not about that. But we measure success by where you start on day one and how you finish. So in day one, if we have a participant who comes in who has no understanding of business or what entrepreneurship should be, or even how they present in front of people, but then at the end of the program, they show confidence and they show passion and enthusiasm and are able to present an idea, that is the best outcome that we can hope for and that we are trying to achieve with all participants. My measure, and I know that our program's measure, is to help people become better problem solvers and to actually just feel inspired.
So, and do you think that that's also why it's that important to be able to pitch? Because that seems like that's one of the stars of the program's ability to pitch your idea in the end.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I've witnessed and I have experienced this myself, where you get to the edge of the stage and public speaking is not for everybody. Every single time I've gotten on stage to pitch my business idea, whether that was in the Young Gems program, whether that was Pitch a Palace, or even when I pitch my idea to, you know, individuals in a room, you know, I'm terrified. That is a natural reaction to being, you know, having that sense of fear and, you know, anxiety. However, to be able to push through that and to, again, be able to get your idea and your passion across is really, really important, because even if you never start a business, these are fundamental skills that employers look for. They are looking for problem solvers, and they're looking for people who can communicate a coherent idea and who have put some thought into the pros and cons of their idea. So this program is arming you with the skills that you are going to use in life as well as in business. Yeah.
So we always finish the program with the two same questions, but I've adapted it slightly for you because English is your first language. Which phrase or word from another culture or language most inspired you? I know you love Cambodia, so I was hoping it'd be Khmer.
Khmer, no, to be honest, and I love Cambodia. Unfortunately, I wish I spoke more of the language. Cambodians are very grateful and thankful and humble people. And even saying a Khun Tran is, you know, thank you very much, but it's said so humbly and gratefully. But the word is Pana, and it's, I believe it's Swahili.
Yeah.
And you might be better at me, or the listeners out there might be correcting me. I might get some angry emails. I apologize for my pronunciation.
No, I think it sounds good. I think it sounds about right.
And I believe the term is in reference to really acknowledging, connecting with someone and sympathizing with their current situation, whether they're in a poor situation or a good situation. But it's to really connect and acknowledge the person that you're meeting. So it's almost, it's a greeting, but it's a little bit more than a hello or a hi. It's more of an acknowledgement of a person's situation, even if you don't know who they are. So I've heard it a couple of times, and I've heard the meaning, and I do connect with that. And I think it's quite inspiring that you can, you know, you can, in one word or one phrase, you can, you know, essentially connect with a person that you may not even know, but empathize with their, with who they are in their everyday life. So that would be my pick.
Maybe fantastic.
That's true. I'm not sure, but that would be my, my one phrase.
I love that. If I have to, I might use that in future. Which Australian word or phrase do you call your own?
It's quite interesting. I think this is a hard one. Funny, it should be an easy one considering I am an Australian. I've always felt more connected to other cultures. You know, in Australia, we have that sort of, you know, that mateship and that, you know. I think the one term, I guess, I connect with the most, or, you know, in my life is, you know, having a fair go. It's a bit cliche, but it does mean not just a fair go for yourself as a person, you know, I don't just want a fair go in life, but it's to also help others, to give them an opportunity and to get them to have a fair go. Sometimes people may not necessarily have the same access or to resources, or may not necessarily have the same opportunities. And I think fundamentally in Australia, we try to give everyone a fair go. If you're willing to put in the work, we'll give you a helping hand. And I think that's, you know, essentially what I take from, you know, having a fair go. But I think Aussies tend to be a little bit lazy. You know, we're a bit laid back, but we can be a little lazy. So I actually connect better with more cultures that tend to work a bit harder and have that sort of mindset. So, yeah, but have a fair go. That's probably the one thing that I would connect with the most.
Well, I think that might be one of the new values of Gemstar, fair go, because I think that's what you work towards, like really providing people with the skills so they can have a fair go.
Our aim is to provide quality education to those in the community who may not necessarily have equal access or even understand that they can find these opportunities. And at Young Gems, it's important that we see that there's a promotion of a certain type of white man who has a technology idea, and that's been traditionally what entrepreneurship has been affiliated with. However, there is some amazing entrepreneurs out there worldwide who come from multicultural backgrounds, who are amazing women. You know, gender bias in entrepreneurship is still a thing. You know, these are the things that we want to champion as an organization. And, you know, we are inspired and led by our own entrepreneur, Gemma Manning, which I know you spoke to Gemma in the last episode, and it's truly an inspiration to work for a strong leader with such a vision who champions inclusivity and diversity in everything that we do. And I think the important message needs to be not only within education and entrepreneurship, but just within business and society, is that we've got to stop paying lip service to diversity, inclusivity, and actually take action and stick to what our values are and put them into practice.
Well, that sounds brilliant, Adam. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure. And I look forward to all of those amazing people out there coming along to the Young Gems program. So I guess don't forget to apply. And I look forward to meeting each and every one of you and, you know, understanding who you are and where you come from. You know, that inspires me as well. I get to come along and teach you, but I always take a lot out of meeting amazing new people and listening to their stories. So I encourage everyone to apply, and I look forward to hearing from you.
So that's it for this installment of the Cinnamon Stick. Keep the flavor going. Until next time.